We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On today's show, I respond to John Piper's recent opinion piece titled Policies, Persons, and Pathways to Ruin, where he draws a shocking moral equivalency between human arrogance and human execution, abortion. And he seems to almost, in a cavalier fashion, dismiss the value of human freedom. We'll talk about this and more. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's Rebellion. I've been asked several times over the last few days to respond to John Piper's opinion piece that he put out on October 22nd. As I said in the intro, it was titled Policies, Persons, and Pathways to Ruin. So I'm going to take today's show and I'll respond to that op-ed, not line by line, but idea by idea. We'll go through his opinion piece and then I will respond to it. So this is a Piper responds to Piper piece, I guess, if you will. Now, point of clarification, I am not related to John Piper that I know of. I actually admire him in great measure. He's been a real leader within the evangelical community in terms of focusing on the biblical message, the inerrancy of the word, the infallibility of God's revelation to us. John Piper is a good man, but he's desperately wrong in this particular piece. And he's been wrong in other things, and obviously, I've been wrong in some things too, so you'll have to listen to today's show and you'll have to decide which Piper is right and which Piper is wrong. So, a subtitle to today's show could be Piper Responds to Piper. Before we get into it, remember that you can subscribe to The Rebellion by going to patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper, patreon.com/DREVERETTPIPER. My website is drevertpiper.com. That's DREVERETTPIPER.com. You can access back issues to The Rebellion there. You can get my books or at least get access to the websites and the way to purchase my books there. You can also follow my opinion pieces that I write weekly for The Washington Times. Enough of today's bookkeeping laundry, if you will. We've done enough of that. So let's get back to today's show. On October 22nd, John Piper, a leader within the evangelical community, a leader within the Gospel Coalition, a man who's written some very solid books, a man that I've quoted repeatedly in terms of a very solid philosophy of what Christian education should be versus education that's devoid of a Judeo-Christian understanding, a Judeo-Christian ethic, and an open and bold pursuit of objective truth. John Piper is very solid on these issues, but his political position is confusing at best and, frankly, rather stunning in the extreme. This past week, October 22nd, he wrote a piece titled Policies, Persons, and Pathways to Ruin. And because he's such a big name in the evangelical community, this piece was picked up across the world. It was a bombshell. He started out by saying this, and I quote, "This article is probably as close as you will get to an answer on how I will vote in the upcoming presidential election. Probably." That's the way he starts his column. I'm going to repeat that. It's very coy. It's very clever. It's unfortunately cute, if I could use that word, in terms of the way he opens this particular piece. I'm going to repeat exactly what he says. His first sentence in his opinion piece titled Policies, Persons, and Pathways to Ruin is this: "This article is probably as close as you will get to an answer on how I will vote in the upcoming presidential election. Probably." Right off the bat, you're thinking, why in the world, Dr. Piper, did you do that? Why in the world would you have been that cute, that clever, that coy, that evasive in responding to hundreds of thousands of people that are asking you to be a leader in the current cultural debate? The debate between secularized culture and obedient Christian discipleship. Why? People are trying to understand what their responsibility is right now in terms of being good citizens of the United States of America and stewarding that citizenship that God has given them providentially in a positive way, not only for themselves, but for their progeny, for those people that follow them. And you start off your article by saying, this article is probably as close as you're going to get to an answer on how I will vote in the upcoming presidential election. Probably. So you're probably going to vote? You're probably not? I mean, how? If you just stop right there, you're thinking, this is unfortunate. Well, it gets worse. I'm going to go through a few more lines. We'll do that before the break, and then after our soft break in today's show, I'll come back and I'll tell you what I think is most egregious in all of these statements. So let's go into another statement. This is a quote from Piper's article. This is a long overdue article attempting to explain why I remain baffled that so many Christians consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, unrepentant factitiousness, and the like to be only toxic for our nation, while policies that endorse baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach are viewed as deadly. I frankly don't know if you got that immediately when you heard that or read that, but it's a head scratcher for me. What are you saying? I'm going to repeat it again. This is a long overdue article attempting to explain why I remain baffled that so many Christians consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, and unrepentant factitiousness and the like to be only toxic for our nation, while policies that endorse baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach are viewed as deadly. You figure it out. And he's a better writer than this. He's smarter than this. Why the intentional obfuscation and confusion? Why is he throwing these curveballs when he says that this is a long overdue article where he's attempting to explain why he's baffled with a lot of Christians? He goes on and says this. There are sins that are mentioned in the New Testament, and these sins of sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, unrepentant factitiousness, and the like. He's saying these are sins that are cited in the New Testament, and they are sins that destroy a people. They are not just deadly. They are deadly forever. They lead to eternal destruction. And he quotes 2 Thessalonians 1:9 in confirming that. And then he goes in and he says, they destroy persons, and through persons, they destroy nations. So here's what I think he's saying, that Donald Trump's unrepentant sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, and unrepentant factitiousness is as bad as baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialism. I think that's what he's saying. In fact, he seems to be suggesting that Donald Trump's sins, boastfulness, vulgarity, factitiousness, are worse in terms of destroying nations and not just persons. That seems to be what he's saying. Now, how do you feel about that so far? Let's take a couple more minutes and go through a couple other lines here. He then says the New Testament teaches that those who do such things, the Donald Trump sins, those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, and that those who practice such things deserve to die, Romans 1:32. And then he says this, my point is simply to raise the stakes of what is outwardly modeled in leadership so that Christians can give pause. It is not a small thing to treat lightly a pattern of public behaviors that lead to death. So he's suggesting that I and others of you that are perhaps listening to the show right now, and I and others like Franklin Graham, who support President Trump because of his policies, his point, John Piper's point, seems to be that Franklin Graham and all the rest of us underlings that agree with Franklin Graham within the evangelical Christian community, that Donald Trump's policies in supporting freedom, supporting Israel, for supporting the Constitution, being pro-life, pro-liberty, pro-Constitution, pro-America, pro-human dignity, and pro-human freedom, he seems to be suggesting that our defense of Donald Trump on those bases is somehow fallacious because we're ignoring Donald Trump's sins of vulgarity, immorality, and boastfulness, which are worse than abortion, killing babies, and the sex-switching, well, that was his language, sex-switching socialistic overreach. I'm confused. How in the world could he possibly be suggesting that? He says, I want to raise the stakes of what is outwardly modeled in leadership so that Christians can give pause. It is no small thing to treat lightly a pattern of public behavior that leads to death. Flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, immorality, and factitiousness are self-incriminating, he says, but also they are nation-corrupting, he says. They influence and infect whole cultures. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6. Bad company ruins good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And then he says, it corrupts. There are sins that lead people into more and more ungodliness as their talk spreads like gangrene. 2 Timothy 2. There is a character connection between rulers and subjects. Let me conclude with this before we take a break. Is it not baffling, he says, that so many Christians seem to be sure that they are saving human lives and freedoms by treating as minimal the destructive effects of the spreading gangrene of high-profile, high-handed, cultural-shaping sin? I'm stunned. I am stunned at John Piper's cavalier attitude with which he begins this article. And I'm just thrown for a loop with the implied moral equivalency between Donald Trump's bad behavior and Biden's support of killing babies, dismembering them and selling their body parts for profit. John Piper just drew a moral equivalency between the two. And in fact, he has said in more than one sentence, more than one line that I've just pulled out of this article, that Donald Trump's vulgarity and rudeness and bad behavior is worse for the nation than abortion. What? What in the world has John Piper been smoking? My land. And that's not the end of it. The rest of his article demonstrates a flagrant disregard for human freedom. And he even seems to suggest, and I'll read it when we get back from the break, he even seems to suggest that we should be ready to lose our freedoms, not fight to defend those freedoms and retain them, but to only train up a crop of Christians that are prepared to march to the guillotine or march to the gallows singing hymns to Christ. And he constructs this straw man argument that is so sad and so disrespectful of all those people in our lives that we're obligated to defend. Their freedom is something the Bible mandates that we guard and protect, not discard as if it's something that can just be dismissed offhandedly. We don't care about your freedom. We just want to prepare you to sing faithful hymns as they march you to the gallows. That's our responsibility as pastors. That's our responsibility as leaders within the Christian community. Hogwash, baloney. That is not the biblical narrative. The Bible has been very clear about the value of human freedom from Genesis to Revelation. And after we get back from this break, we'll talk about that. Let's acknowledge our sponsors right now. We'll be back in a couple minutes. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. In the first half of the show, I went through a few lines of John Piper's recent missive where he is drawing a moral equivalency between Donald Trump's rudeness and his vulgarity, which I don't dispute. Maybe you do. I don't. I think Donald Trump is a rude man. I think he can be vulgar in his communication. I think he can actually be inappropriate in the way he calls out people and calls them names and sometimes belittles others who disagree with him. I don't like that, and I've never condoned that, and I've never tried to diminish that or suggest that it's not wrong or sinful. What I am saying now, and I will continue to say, is that Donald Trump's abrasive attitude, his arrogance, his vulgarity, his inappropriate communication, his vocabulary, his temperament, none of those things rise to the level, the moral level, of butchering babies and selling their body parts. None of those things rise to the level of trying to take and promising to take a nation's freedom away, of disregarding the First Amendment, the First Amendment of our Constitution that guarantees you religious freedom to worship when and where and how you like, and to never have to worry about the government infringing upon your right to assemble with who you want to assemble with, and to worship the God that you choose to worship in the manner that you choose to worship when and where and how. And to embrace those values both privately and publicly in your faith, and to live them out accordingly. That statement that I just made used to be irrefutable within the United States of America, but today it is not, because the Democratic Party has promised to take those things away. I covered the Equality Act yesterday and why it was so important. I told you that Joe Biden has promised that one of the first things he will sign into law is the Equality Act. And the Equality Act will take away your equality if you're a conservative Christian, a conservative Jew, or even a conservative who just wants to teach your children, your progeny, and those people around you, whether they be in your school, in your church, or in your family, the traditional 2,000-year-old biblical ethic on how to live your life and how to behave. The Equality Act will take your right away, because if you teach at a Christian school, you will have to hire people that disagree with the very premise, the very mission statement, the very foundation of your Christianity that is the reason for your Christian school to exist. The Equality Act will prohibit you from discriminating, quote-unquote, against those individuals who disagree with your ethics, your morality, your way of living, i.e. your Christianity. Now, how in the world can John Piper dismiss that as if it's not important? He actually says this in his article. Freedom and life are precious, but if our freedoms are threatened or taken, none of these things is lost with the loss of life and freedom. What are these things? The essence of our identity in Christ, the certainty of our everlasting joy in Christ, and the holiness and love for which we have been saved. So he's saying that if our freedoms are taken, we still have our identity in Christ. We still have our everlasting joy in Christ. We still have our holiness and love, the very things that have served as the context of our salvation in Christ. I agree with all that. But does that mean you should easily dismiss your freedoms and just give them away? Well, that's good for you, John Piper. If you want to give yours away, more power to you. Give them away. That's fine. But what right do you have to suggest that 300 million other Americans should lose their freedom? You're being awfully cavalier and dismissive about the biblical value of freedom. Just because you don't lose your eternity with Christ at the same moment you lose your freedom doesn't mean that the Bible hasn't told us explicitly from the Genesis narrative on through that human freedom is a highest good. It's a first thing. That's an incredible statement by John Piper. Wayne Grudem, in his book Politics According to the Bible, a comprehensive resource for understanding modern political issues in light of Scripture, says this: liberty in a nation is of utmost importance because it allows people to have freedom to choose to obey or disobey God. The Bible consistently places a high value on individual human freedom and responsibility to choose one's actions. Beginning from the origin of the human race, when He, God, put Adam and Eve in the garden, God gave people freedom. Such freedom to choose is one of the highest manifestations of excellence in the human being that God has created, and it is one of the ways in which mankind is more like God than any of the animals that God made. Did you hear that? Grudem is spot on, and that is what John Piper is missing. The Imago Dei, I talk about it ad nauseum. You know that. If you haven't learned what the Imago Dei means, if you haven't learned those terms, then you haven't been listening to this show. I constantly go back to the fact that you are the Imago Dei. You are made in the image of God. You are not an animal. God put his thumbprint on your heart and on your mind and on your soul. The reason you can listen to me right now and agree or disagree, argue or support, the reason that you can do that is because you have the capacity to reason. And that rational capacity is God's image on your heart, mind, and soul. Your dog cannot listen to me on this show. He's not going to disagree or agree with me. He's not going to debate or support me. Or you. The cows out in the field don't have arguments with one another. They don't enjoy a good, robust debate. Why? They are the Imago Dog. They're made in the image of the animal. They're not the Imago Dei. They're not made in the image of God. And John Piper is dismissing one of the critical components of what it means, what God told you, told me, told Israel, told the nations it means to be created in his image. The very first creation narrative, the very first human being that was created by God was given what? Freedom. Freedom. There's nothing in the Bible that discusses animals having that freedom. Animals don't enjoy choice. Animals don't enjoy disagreement. Animals can't choose to sin. You can. And you can also choose virtue. You have the ability of choosing virtue and vice. And any government that's going to take any of that freedom away from you is an evil government. And that is a primary thing. What John Piper is ignoring at the offset of this entire article, I should say at the onset of this entire article, is this. Number one, freedom is a first thing. It's a highest good. And it is actually even defined and given in the first of the creative acts in the Genesis story. The creative act of making Adam and endowing him with the Imago Dei, the image of God, moral awareness, moral culpability, moral responsibility, and the ability to choose, which is all grounded in the assumption of free will and freedom. Who in the world is John Piper to suggest that can just be taken away and that we should all just sing Kumbaya and Amazing Grace as we're marched off to the gallows? Well, if we are ever taken to the gallows, then we should have the faith and the character to stand firm in Christ. I agree with that. But are we just supposed to follow along like stupid sheep and let it happen? And if you're willing to do it for yourself, then more power to you. Fine. But do you ever have the right to just impose it on everyone else? A few years ago, I had a professor at Oklahoma Wesleyan University that wrote an article, and he said something almost the same. He, too, was a never-Trumper. I assume to this day he is, like John Piper. He, too, felt that Donald Trump's behavior was just so offensive that he had to speak out against Trump. He, too, said that he would gladly, this is his quote, gladly give up his freedom rather than vote for a man like Donald Trump. And here's what happened. The phone lines at Oklahoma Wesleyan went bananas because people were angry with this professor. And they basically said this: my dad died in World War II for that freedom that you're so eager to just give up. I fought in the Korean War for that freedom that you're just dismissing out of hand. My uncle fought in Vietnam to guard and protect and to give you the freedom to be as stupid as you're being right now in your commentary and your offhanded dismissal of something that hundreds of thousands of American men have given their blood for. Thousands upon thousands of American women have likewise sacrificed for your freedom, and you're just going to give it up? How dare you? It's not yours to give. Freedom is an American thing. It's not just yours. It's owned by the country. It's promised in the Constitution. And, John Piper, it is likewise extolled and promised in the Bible. And it starts in the very first verses of Genesis. If you diminish human freedom, you're dumbing down the Imago Dei. You're taking the dignity, the moral awareness, and moral culpability out of the individual, and you're sacrificing that all because you think Donald Trump is a big, bad orange man. How silly. Abortion is worse than arrogance. Babies die. 60 million of them have died so far. Don't you dare draw a moral equivalency between abortion and arrogance. And don't you dare suggest that you can just dismiss my freedom. If you want to sacrifice yours, fine, but don't screw around with mine. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.